Let's go up to the podium as the program is beginning here at the St. Pete Yacht Club. This is live coverage on RadioSt.Pete.com.
Mark Bircher is first up. So what I'll do is I'll let our introduction go first. David Clement will be doing the introduction, and he'll be doing them in alphabetic order. He'll introduce all of our candidates, and then we'll ask them to come up one at a time.
Thank you, Ann, and good afternoon, Tigers. Tiger Bay is honored to host this candidate debate, and I'm honored to be asked to introduce the candidates. As Ann said, there are three parties represented, so we're trying to do them in alphabetical order to ensure fairness to all. So, in alphabetical order by party, the Democratic Party would be first, and the candidate for the Democratic Party is Alex Sink. Ms. Sink spent 25 years as a bank executive in the Tampa Bay area before entering politics in 2006, winning this election as Chief Financial Officer of Florida. She ran an unsuccessful campaign for governor in 2010. Currently, she heads the Florida Next Foundation, a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to empowering young people and entrepreneurs. She is active in civic and community affairs, including United Way, Junior Achievement, Florida Wildlife Federation. She earned a bachelor's degree in mathematics magna cum laude from Wake Forest University, and has two grown children. Alex Sink. Next in alphabetical order, the Libertarian Party candidate, Lucas Overby. Mr. Overby was born and raised in Pinellas County and bills himself as a working man and the quintessential political outsider. At Lakewood High Center for Advanced Technologies, he was a member of the National Honor Society. He is a commercial diving instructor, is married and has a four-year-old daughter, lives in Clearwater. He has been active in the community on social and civic issues such as human rights, personal liberty, and various charitable organizations. And a note, he filed to run for this seat in the spring, months before Congressman Young announced his intention to retire. There are three candidates for the Republican Party, and alphabetically first is Mark Bircher. Mr. Bircher was born in Pensacola to a military family and currently resides in Seminole with his wife and 10-year-old son. He's a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy and a retired Marine Corps aviator, including service as a member of the Blue Angels flying team. He retired from the Marines as a brigadier general in 2009 after 33 years of service, including deployment in Operation Iraqi Freedom. He holds a law degree from Stetson College of Law and is an airline pilot. Next, Mr. David Jolly. Mr. Jolly is a fifth-generation Floridian born in Dunedin and currently a resident of Indian Shores. He graduated from Pasco High, earned a bachelor's degree from Emory University, and his JD degree from George Mason University. He served as a senior advisor and general counsel to Congressman Young beginning in 1995, and also was a consultant, lawyer, and lobbyist in Washington. He currently serves as vice president of the Clearwater-based Boston Finance Group, as well as CEO of Olympus Foundation Management. And Kathleen Peters. Ms. Peters was born in Northbrook, Illinois, and moved to Pinellas County in 1985. She lives in South Pasadena with her husband, Mike, and is the mother of four sons and grandmother of four grandsons. She served South Pasadena as a member of the City Commission and then as mayor before running for office for the State House of Representatives from District 69 in 2012, a seat she currently holds. She earned a bachelor's in human development from Eckerd College. Previously, she was vice president for public affairs of the Clearwater Regional Chamber and as a staff member of the Juvenile Welfare Board and the YMCA of Greater St. Petersburg. The candidates for this office.
David, thank you very much. Okay, at this time, I'm going to announce the order of the candidates, and they drew straws earlier. The first up will be Mark Bircher. Second will be Kathleen Peters. Third will be David Jolly. Fourth will be Alex Sink. And fifth will be Lucas Overby. At this time, I'd like to invite Mark up to the podium, please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I think we already went through my bio. I am running to attempt to follow a legend in Florida's 13th. My political career is now in its 18th day, so I'm especially grateful to Tiger Bay Club, everybody that came to this assembly. I did go to the Naval Academy and chose Marine Corps Aviation, and for the consideration of an education, the people of the United States had me obligate for 5 years of military service. I stayed for 12 because I was enjoying it so much and the people were so good, I thought it was worthwhile. I did transition. I spent another 21 years in the Marine Corps Reserve, became an airline pilot, was interested in the law always. My wife Jackie attended law school, practiced a little law, but mostly I've been doing pro bono law as well as flying as an airline pilot. I'd like to bring 3 points for my candidacy, and that is to return to what the purpose of government is, how the government and wealth relate to the people, and fiscal spending, and more importantly, accountability and fiscal spending. And the first, I think, the most important thing is to realize the federal government was created by the states to do what the states wanted the federal government to do, and that's an important relationship on who is serving who. And why did they do that? Because 13 states needed a common to print money, common defense, foreign policy, and a post office. As James Madison tells us, the powers of the federal government are few and all are enumerated. And think about those powers. They were singular in their purpose and their goal. Print money for the economy so business people could have a vibrant economy. Post office so there would be communications for trade. Foreign policy to make sure our international markets were available for businessmen, businesswomen in the states, and common defense. Because if you didn't have to worry about your common defense, the entrepreneurial spirit of a free people, they're going to do everything necessary for the society, the education, the health care. The government's job was to be in support. And that's what I spent my entire Marine Corps career doing. I was an aviator. My customer was the infantryman. If I couldn't support the infantrymen on the ground, I didn't have a purpose. Number two is, what is wealth? We need to remember the federal government has no capability to create wealth, zero. Only the people can create wealth. And the government's taking powers, be they taxes or writing debt, to give a dollar, they must first take a dollar. And my platform recognizes that reality. Over the last 50 years, our country has migrated to a belief that Washington, D.C. is somehow Emerald City, that you can go there and you can get money, and we get disconnected that it all has to come from the only source, and that's our state. And if you do travel to Washington, D.C., and you go to Emerald City with an expectation, it's really just a man behind a curtain. They can't take to give what they can't give what they first don't take. And lastly is this, maybe the most important thing for our republic. For the first 124 years, up until about 1913, there was consequence for spending money. The framers made the lower house run every 2 years so there'd be this short leash. So that if they're spending your money, you could say, you're coming back to be a taxpayer and stop spending my money. I don't like the way you do it. That migrated in 1913. there is no longer political consequence. And I would use the example of Florida's budget. Look at today what's happening. The administration has a budget about $74 billion, wants to trim $100 million. Other parties are saying, no, we need a billion more. But think about that margin. It's less than 1.5% from what the budget is. And why that is because you can't read an article on the Florida budget without the concept of taxes. How's it going to be spent? So that has the political reality that the framers wanted, a political consequence at the election that you're going to have to think about that. If you look now at our federal government, politicians don't talk to you about how they're going to spend it because the 16th Amendment changed that. And that's how it changed it isn't important enough. It now, what can I give you and leave out the part of how I'm going to pay for it, because that's where the debt's going straight up. It's unsustainable. And coming back to the purpose of the federal government, these regulations, these taxes, these takings, and this debt is a crush on our economy. That's my political platform. Thank you.
It is now time for the question and answers for this candidate. So I'm going to let you, you've got 4 minutes for question and answers, and I will let you choose your questioners.
Please, ma'am.
Point of information.
Yes.
Before you start your question, there is no follow-up. You only have 20 seconds to ask your question. I want to get as many as possible. 20 seconds.
Chair, General Berger, what have you done in this community that we should raise our go to the polls and vote for you? I've never heard your name until you qualified as a candidate for this race. And we, as a whole in this community, normally pick our candidates by their community activities. So what activities have you been involved in Dallas County?
My activities, a few years ago, I volunteered at the Public Defender's Office, mostly Little League. I really re-engaged with my family because there's a lot of ways to serve your community. And my deployments overseas were, in a sense, serving my community. That mission is now complete on that service. That's why I'm here now. I want to serve my community because when I drive around, I see vacant storefronts. I see businesses that aren't there anymore. I think there's a consequence of how the federal government is treating us and how our local economy is reacting. That is my goal for my future service.
Helen Riley, where do you stand, sir, on immigration reform?
My position on immigration reform, I'm a process guy as a lawyer. I like to wrap myself in the law. I think our laws should be respected. I think a person that's in our country illegally should go through the legal process to come. I do not believe that amnesty is a good way to go. I'm for enforcing our laws and having people respect our laws.
Yes. What do you say on the Affordable Health Care Act?
Yes, sir, the Affordable Health Care Act. I do not believe the forum of the federal government is a proper venue for anything outside the enumerated powers. I think the framers wanted 13, now 50 states, to be in competition, and market forces would have the states do the better. The result of market forces would have the states do a better job, and not just of health care, many of the cabinet, the education, everything would be better off here at the local level. And more importantly, for a dollar that we send to Washington to come back for health care in the 13th Congressional District doesn't look like a dollar when it comes from that process. I think we can do better here spending our money the way free men and women of liberty want to rather than how the federal regulation thinks it should be. Yes, sir.
I'm Gregory Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Given how our office made across the world. How do you feel that the American courses have done with respect to providing us health care?
Sir, I think that's a great question. I think it's pretty easy to look. Everybody I know, and I travel all over the world, tries to get to the United States if they can get health care. There are models of where government runs health care, and I don't know too many people trying to get to North Korea, Albania, Yemen, Cuba to go for health care. And I'm worried that if we start doing government health care, it'll diminish the quality that we have. Yes, please.
That was 4 minutes for his Q&A. I would like to let you do a one-minute wrap-up closing statement.
Okay, I can be faster than 1 minute. The reason I'm running, it says conservative Republican. I don't think that exactly. I think I'm a conservative in relative terms. I'm actually just somebody that believes that the framers were onto a good idea that's migrated away into regulations, taxes, and debt. We can change the helm of the ship of state of the United States to bring us back where we can have better job growth and economy. In my view, the Republican Party is now offering the voters a choice between big government and bigger government. I don't think that's a choice. I think we've lost our way. I'm coming back to actually have a distinction that I want to get our entrepreneurial spirit back front and center, put the government in support of making the conditions for us to run business. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce next up is Representative Kathleen Peters. I also wanted to announce just one real quick message. Joe Bordeaux, one of our Tiger Bay members, has requested and is freely recording this luncheon, and all future Tiger Bay luncheons will be streaming it live on the internet and mobile devices, and you can write it down at RadioSt.Pete.com. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Today's candidate forum will also be archived by RadioSt.Pete.com and available for on-demand listening later today. So thank you, Joe Bordeaux, for doing that for this club. Really appreciate it. Kathleen Peters next.
Good afternoon. And before I start, the one thing I do want to do is thank the general for his service. I think we forget to do that all too often, and he had a dedicated, beautiful career, and so I thank you, sir, for your service. I don't know where you went, but thank you for your service. Good afternoon. I'm Kathleen Peters. I can tell you I am a proud mom of four, which you already heard, and a proud grandmother of four grandsons. I consider myself a very pragmatic, get-the-job-done businesswoman, public servant. I've been a community advocate, a former city commissioner, a mayor, and a state representative. And I've been a member of Pinellas County Community for 28 years. I believe that Congressman Young was a true statesman. I believe that he was truly an icon. He left a legacy for all of us to value and hopefully model. So who's going to be the next person to step up? Who's going to be the next one to represent this beautiful and grand place that we live right here in Pinellas County? With my life experience as a Cub Scout leader, as a Little League and a soccer mom, as a small business owner, a community advocate, someone who focused many, many years on youth development and taking care of our children right here in Pinellas County, who served at local government where we truly have to meet the very basic needs of our citizens. I believe that those kind of relationships that I have been able to build over years through that kind of community development and community leadership makes me a strong candidate, because no one knows Pinellas County that is on your slate better than I do. I've got experience taking on small issues. I have experience taking on really big issues in our community. I've got experience writing policy, not only writing it at the local level and at the state level, but having to stay there and make a vote to oppose or to support. And every one of you can take a look at my voting record and know exactly what I stand for, because I have that track record. I believe that our country's problems are not going to take care of themselves. And I think it's time that we roll up our sleeves and we face our problems and we make those hard choices and we make them together and we come up with comprehensive solution. And it is not an individual that does that. It is a team player that does that. And that's what my track record speaks. I believe that we need to take care of our children and our grandchildren's future, because right now I don't think it's very secure. I believe that we must make sure that every single citizen has the ability to have a job. We've worked really hard in Florida to make sure that our Floridians can have a job. We've worked really hard here in Florida in the state legislature to make sure that companies want to move here and create jobs. We've worked really hard to make sure that we're producing students out of our schools that can meet the demand of the workforce. Because when we have a strong economy, when we have strong schools, our communities grow and they flourish and they can take care of themselves. I believe that we need to make sure that we have a balanced budget. We should have a balanced budget just like you and I have. Every city, every county, every state has to have a balanced budget, but why not Congress? The debt and the deficit that they are imposing on future generations is absolutely unacceptable and inexcusable. And first and foremost, the most pressing thing that must be addressed that Washington is not, is taking care of our flood insurance. Do they not ever look at the analysis of a bill before they pass it to see what it's going to do when the rubber hits the road? Because I don't believe they do. And I'll stop.
We'll move forward with our four-minute question-answer period. Kathleen, you get to choose your questioners.
I do. Okay. I don't know you, sir. Tell me who you are and ask your question.
I'm Gary Dalton. I'm president of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. And the Republicans in the House have put about 40 times to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act. I haven't heard any of them say what their position is for and how they would improve health care. I would think all of us agree we don't want to be denied in just existing conditions. What is your position to improve health care?
What I can tell you is I don't like the plan that we currently have to take care of affordable health care. And I don't even think they named it appropriately. I think it's one of those wolves in sheep's clothing when they call it the Affordable Care Act, because it is not at all affordable. I do not think that we should take a stand and say absolutely repeal it, not unless we have a plan and a proposal to replace it. Do I believe that people should be singled out for an existing condition? No, because I experienced that. And as a small business owner, I had to pay exorbitant fees for health insurance and had a hard time finding small group insurance. And when I had TMJ surgery and they found out, I wasn't insurable. So I know. I've lived it. Is it a problem? Yes. We have to address it. But we can't just repeal it. We have to have a comprehensive plan, and we need to work at something that's affordable, that isn't mandating down and forcing people to not have choices. And that's what we've taken away. There's somebody way in the back. She was the first one to raise her hand.
Why, when you were just elected to Tallahassee, would you give that up when you could have made such a difference in the state of Florida? Why did you do that?
Okay. And I knew that was coming, especially because it was in the paper today. You know, I was told when I first went to Tallahassee, don't expect to get much done because you're a freshman. And I'm here to tell you, I had an over-the-top, outstanding year, and I got a bill passed that for 4 years, senior legislators couldn't get passed, and it was an important bill to so many people right here in Pinellas County. I'm a get-it-done kind of girl. And when Congressman Young first said he wasn't going to run for election, I was really surprised that I received more than 12 phone calls at my office asking me to consider running from many people I hadn't personally met. And when many people who I truly thought were going to step up and run for this seat, good leaders from Pinellas County like Rick Baker, who I have great admiration for the sheriff, great admiration, Senator Letvella, and our homegrown people did not step up, I was asked by several of those leaders, by the congressman's son himself, if I would do this. And I did. I'm confident that I can serve Pinellas County as well and better in Washington as I can in Tallahassee. Four minutes is up?
Yeah, your 4 minutes is up, but you do have time for a closing statement.
Okay. You know, I did write a statement, and I will tell you, I think it's really important that the person that represents Pinellas County is truly somebody who has truly deep roots in Pinellas County. And that's the one thing that I truly bring to this community, is very deep roots, developing programs to help our children in school, programs that won awards, that reduced our behavior referral rates 50% and our arrest rates by 23%, because it's important to protect our children and have an outstanding education. And it wasn't my job to do it. But I love this community, and I've always advocated for children. They're our future, and somebody needs to protect them. And right now, Washington is not doing that, and I'm prepared to do that. Thank you.
Republican Kathleen Peters for the 13th Congressional District.
Thank you, Representative Peters.
Live
at this
event
time,
coverage
we have David Dolly as our third on the list, and you will have 5 minute opening remarks, 4 minutes for your Q&A, and about a 1 minute closing. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann Tigers. Thank you for letting me be here today. As a former member of board member of this organization, this is exciting, but I also know what I'm stepping into. So let's have some fun. I'm excited to be at Tiger Bay, even if, as some who like to poke fun say, we're having this 13th congressional debate in the 14th district. But we're going to do that here today. Listen, Kathleen and I agree on something. This race is about Pinellas County. This race is about making sure someone from Pinellas County is elected to represent our neighbors and our communities here in Pinellas County and take that to Washington. There are two very special Pinellas County families here today. I want to recognize the family of our late Congressman Bill Young. His wife Beverly is here. And as Dan mentioned, his son Billy is here as well, a fine gentleman there in the back of the room. The second family I'd like to introduce is mine, my parents, the Reverend Lawson Jolly, formerly a minister at Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, my mother, a proud Clearwater Tornado alum. So welcome. I was born in Dunedin. When I went to Washington, I did so with nothing more than the love of my parents, and I did so because I'm the type of Republican that believes in the equality of opportunity. We didn't come from means. I was a preacher's kid who followed my dream to work in public policy. And what happened to me was a moment of providence. I met a man that changed my life forever, and that man was Bill Young. And for nearly 20 years, For nearly 20 years, I had the opportunity to work alongside Congressman Young serving this community, both here in Pinellas County and in Washington, alongside him as he worked on issues like beach renourishment, supporting our veterans, supporting our seniors, infrastructure, and as he worked to ban the offshore oil drilling in our Gulf. Now let's talk politics, because that's why we're here and that's why we enjoy Tiger Bay. Some polls, we haven't done any head-to-head polls, but if you believe the head-to-head polls, we are leading this primary. I believe we're leading this primary because, first and foremost, I'm a Bill Young Republican that believes in working with everybody. Republicans, independents, Democrats, that is how we're going to win this race. But I also believe we're leading because we're an unconventional candidate. When Mr. Young passed away, there were a lot of great community leaders receiving phone calls. Mayor Baker was one of them. We all know what a great leader he is, and I appreciate his support. The sheriff was receiving phone calls as well. My phone wasn't ringing. Nobody called me. Nobody would have said that today we would be standing here in this election, but we are. And I believe what's working is that I like to talk about the truth. I like to talk about issues. I don't believe in poll-tested one-line attacks that are simply done to fund male businesses. I believe in the issues. So, Tigers, let's talk about the issues. You're going to hear throughout this race that I'm a lobbyist. I'm a Pinellas County businessman. I work in finance in Clearwater. I have a communications firm. I run a nonprofit management firm. I have a consulting business, and yes, for some of my clients, I have been a registered lobbyist. And I'm proud of the work that I have done for my clients. As a result of my work, I was able to bring funding to the U.S. Marshals to track and apprehend absconders from the sex offender registry. I was able to work on growing small businesses here in Pinellas County, bringing jobs to companies that were having trouble working with the federal government. And I was proud to advance medical research for wounded warriors with amputations. That is the type of work I've done for this community, and we're going to talk about that every single day. I wear it as a badge of honor. So I'm proud of my record fighting for Pinellas. I'm proud of my record working alongside Bill Young. This race is going to be about substance, not about attacks. This race is going to be about taking on issues, not taking on each other. And this race is going to be about qualifications. We are all here running for a job. And what I am asking this community to do is to consider who is the most qualified candidate to step into the Congressional District 13 seat that was left vacant by our late dear congressman and be able to affect the people of this community and the needs of this community on day one. This is a job application process. I got into this race because I believe with humility that I am the candidate most qualified on day one to step in and serve the people of this county. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm not sure we've had a question yet to win the Fang and Claw Award, so I'm expecting it to be during the next 4 minutes.
Thank you, David. We will now have our question and answer period. And David, you get to choose your questions.
How about right here at this table?
I'm Emilio Sias, and I'm from Tiger Bay in Tampa. And I've heard a couple of you now talk about how important it is to have deep roots in Pinellas County. And while I understand that the state might have some unique issues, I wonder, other than bringing home the bacon, which any congressman or congressperson would want to do, what are the issues that make it important to be in Pinellas when you're going to work for our country in this Congress?
That's a great question. Thank you. And I think that's a question that speaks to the unique qualifications of somebody from Pinellas County. Kathleen mentioned the flood insurance issue. That is a crisis that is worsening every day. There's another local issue. We all know the legacy Mr. Young left with our military here. There are jobs here on the line. As a result of him leaving, we have companies in the high tech, the manufacturing, the defense industry that have to consider whether or not they stay in Pinellas County. About 6 years ago, anticipating Mr. Young's eventual retirement, I led an effort to start a Chamber of Commerce organization. We brought together 60 different companies in the defense and high-tech arena, from the largest prime contractors nationally to the small two-person precision machine shop in Clearwater. And the idea was, let's build an economic base here that can be sustained when the political leadership changes eventually. That's a critical issue. That's jobs. And when we talk about my work in private practice, I like to talk about my work with the job base here because that's critical for this community. Yes.
Hi, good afternoon. Fantastic. Question. Women are still paid about 70 cents on the dollar, and even though we see that the minimum wage is increasing somewhat, it still is not considered a living wage because we still have people working as working poor. What are you planning to do so that we don't have working poor, we just have working men and women?
That's a great question. I agree with you. What we're talking about there, again, is the equality of opportunity, right? The fastest way to improve the lives of everybody, from the skilled worker to the unskilled worker, from men to women, is to create an economy that grows. As we have a conversation about the disparity in income, we often find ourselves having that conversation during economic downturns when everybody's hurting. Those that make the least, they hurt the most in those times. When economic times are good, we rarely have those conversations. If you consider the mid-2000s, the economy was great, and that sea lifted everybody, including those making the most and including those making the least. I believe in the private sector, and that is simply a tenet of my foundational belief about government. I'm very wary of government interference in the private sector. I also believe we do have to pay close attention to the safety net. And so that is an issue that I assure you I would pay close attention to. Yes. Come on. Is this the Fang and Claw?
Sorry, sir. Jerry Evans. Mr. Jolly, welcome back to our club. I believe you served on my board.
I did.
So thank you for coming. But you just indicated that it's an equal opportunity. Ms. Flowers was talking about equal pay and ERA, which has been in Congress since the 1970s and hasn't passed. So I'm curious as to how that's worse in a recession time than it is any other time.
We're talking about the disparity of income, right? I mean, let's... Right? Clearly, wage discrimination is and should be illegal. Discrimination on gender and a whole host of issues is and should be illegal. It's that simple. Next question. Todd.
That's it.
Oh, closing remarks. Listen, I go back to the closing remarks. This is about job qualifications. Somebody is going to be elected on March 11th, and that person is going to go to Washington and be responsible for serving this community. Nobody's going to replace Bill Young, but his shadow is going to cast a long legacy across this race. And the most important thing we can do for our community is to elect somebody that knows how to affect this community, impact the people of Pinellas County, and actually get things done in the position for which we are all seeking elected office. I ask you to consider that qualification when you go to the polls. Thank you very much for letting me be here today.
Thank you, David. At this time, I would like to introduce you to former CFO for the state of Florida and gubernatorial candidate, Alex Sink. Alex, welcome.
Thank you all so much. It's great to be back at Tiger Bay. I was remembering that I've been coming here for more than 10 years, and I think this is maybe my fourth appearance, and they've all been very memorable. So let's keep it going here. I'm Alex Sink, and I want to be your next Congresswoman from Pinellas County, taking your voice with me to serve you in Washington. You know, everywhere I go in Pinellas, I was up in Safety Harbor this morning, people come up to me and say how tired they are of the partisanship, the bickering, the fact that people can't get along, they can't work across party lines in Washington. And they say they want a representative who can work on getting things done. That's why I'm running to be your congressional representative in Washington. So it's really times like these that I think back upon my childhood growing up in a family farm in North Carolina. And when a big storm would be coming, but we still had hay out in the fields, my dad would ring the bell and call all the farmhands, but he'd also come into the house and tell my mom and even my little sister and me that we had to get out in the fields to get the hay in the barn before the rain came to ruin it. And that's the kind of spirit of working together, putting your differences behind you, that I believe we need in Congress. I've always tried to be a problem solver and finding common ground and finding solutions that people can work together to make things happen and to solve problems. Like when I was in banking, we worked every day to try to help a small business figure out how they could get a loan so that they could grow their business and hire more Floridians to work. When I was your CFO, I heard complaints, a lot of complaints, from people saying that seniors were being scammed and were being taken advantage of in the sales of financial products. So what did we do? I formed the Safeguard Our Seniors Task Force. We worked, yes, with the Republican legislature in Tallahassee to strengthen the penalties against people who were trying to scam seniors. And after the governor's race, I didn't quit. I formed the Florida Next Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, because I believe so strongly that the way to rebuild our economy here in Florida is to support small businesses, entrepreneurs, young people, and innovators. But maybe one of my most important commitments in life has been to, along with Bill, to raise our two children and teach them the values of hard work and public service. And so far, so good. My long commitment to public service and getting things done for Floridians is why I decided to take on this new challenge to be your voice in the halls of Congress. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. We need federal policies that encourage and support businesses so that they can grow their business and hire more people into good-paying, sustainable jobs. Growing our economy also means that we have to get our fiscal house in order. Throughout my career, I've worked with Republicans and Democrats for fiscal responsibility to identify waste in government, to save millions for the taxpayers of this state. It's time to bring that kind of attitude to the halls of Washington, and that's what I'll do. Now, there's been a lot of talk lately about the Affordable Care Act. The rollout has been a disaster. The administration has failed us. But I believe that Americans deserve the right to health insurance and affordable health care. So, we cannot go back to where we were before, with insurance companies denying claims after you've paid for years into a health plan, or discriminating against you because you have a pre-existing condition. We have to quickly resolve, this administration does, the healthcare.gov website. We have to fix the things that are wrong, and we have to find ways to lower the cost of prescription drugs. As a CFO, I got involved in a lot of flood insurance issues, and the bell is ringing, but let me just finish up and wrap up by saying I'm here to ask for your support and to continue the conversation in just a minute.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it. It is now time for the question answer session. You will choose your questions. You have 4 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, so maybe somebody could ask me a question about flood insurance, Commissioner Long.
Well, thank you for that suggestion. But that was going to be my
question. I'm Commissioner Janet Long, and my question does have to do with flood insurance. Maybe you'd like to tell us what your plan might be to solve the issues that affect all of Tampa Bay, actually.
Thank you, Commissioner Long. the issue with the flood insurance, I have a background in insurance, as you all know, and I've represented you in Tallahassee, is alarming to me. There are two issues here, the fairness issue and the affordability issue. Fairness. How is it that we in this county have paid in 8 times more than we've ever claimed back from the flood insurance plan? So, first of all, I'm proposing that the problems with the flood insurance plan should not be on the backs of the people in Florida who've paid in far more than we've ever received back in claims. We've been the supporter of the flood insurance program. But we also, there's a second part of this, we cannot afford to kick the can down the road and wait 4 years for a resolution. So when you send me to Washington, I'm going to be working with people there and talking to other congressional representatives to say we need a resolution and we need it now. Yeah.
My name is Gary Sandusky, past president of the Sun Coast Tiger Bay Club. My question to you is, William Tuck. You talked about being in the halls of Congress, but William Tuck was very effective dealing with individual voters, solving VA problems, issues with checks and so forth. What kind of staff are you going to put together to solve those small problems and have the William Tuck?
Thank you. Everywhere I go, and even people in Washington I talk to recognize with such admiration the constituent work that Congressman Young was doing here in this district. You can't go anywhere without a veteran or a citizen commenting about that. And as I have talked to other people in Congress, one of the most important functions of a congressperson is to be sure that we are responsive and we're here to help people solve their issues with the federal government, particularly our veterans. You all know that I'm the widow of a Vietnam War veteran. I've been dealing with the VA, so I've had firsthand experience of how important it is to be able to go to your congressional office. And I think that I would take the same approach that I did when I became the CFO and I went to Tallahassee. I didn't overturn the staff there. I went and evaluated and learned what they had been doing. And I've heard some just amazing, incredible stories about Congressman Young's staff. So it's going to be really important that we have a seamless transition with a lot of people who are still there who know what the issues are. Renee.
One more.
She's right here.
Beach renourishment is really important because we depend on that as it relates to beach renourishment is really important as it relates to the tourism industry here in the state of Florida. We've had some hurricanes in the past that while they did not hit us, we had some repercussions as it relates to the BP oil spill and things of that nature. Can you share what it is that you would do to make sure that our beaches are protected so that we can make sure we have that positive, continuous financial flow?
Well, absolutely, because tourism and our beautiful beaches are the jewel of this district and jewel of Pinellas County. And I'm reminded that Commissioner Welch, when we sat down together, said number one issue is continuing to get federal funding for beach renourishment. This is a place where that across-the-board sequestration that we're in has really hurt us because it's caused the funding to decline, and it means the county and the local governments have had to make up the difference. So one of the things that will be at the top of my list, because this is the driver of our economy, is our beautiful beaches and making sure that we have good environmental policies in place and that we're in there fighting and advocating for our share of those federal monies to help us keep our beaches pristine, beautiful, and the way they've always been that we've always enjoyed. Stop for good? Okay. I have about a minute, though.
Was that your closing statement?
No, that was not my closing statement.
Your closing statement. You got 1 minute.
Thank you. Thank you, Ann. Thank you for being such an interested and engaged audience. I'm running for Congress because I believe that, and I know that it's about values. It's about what are the values of the people in the 13th District, and can I be an effective and loud advocate for the people of my district, and I know I can. So I need your support. I need your help. I'm asking for your votes. Send me to Congress. Send me to Congress, and I will take your voice with me, and we will work. We will work together to accomplish the things that we know that government ought to be accomplishing for the American people. Thank you.
This is Democrat Alex Sink. Live event coverage from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon at the St. Pete Yacht Club.
Thank you, Alex. And our final candidate, Lucas Overby, you have 5 minutes for your opening statement, 4 minutes for your Q&A, and 1 minute for your closing statement. Thank you.
Afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having me. Again, my name's Lucas Overby. Heard a lot about being from the area, being from Pinellas. First of all, I want to thank my alma mater for being here. I went to Lakewood High School in St. Petersburg, born and raised in Clearwater and Largo. I think one of the big differences that, and one of the reasons I got involved last year in this race was largely because people running, and no offense to those of you that are, don't know the community that well. I've spent my entire life here, and I spent the majority of my adult and late childhood working inside of the community, filling the gaps that got left behind with the state and with the federal government.
You're not quite, you're too tall. Sorry.
It's a problem. late last year, we formed a coalition of people under 30 to start to engage younger people in voting and activism. I was very blessed that my party asked me to carry that forward into this race, against Congressman Young and at the time Jessica Ehrlich. And we've been very happy to be able to bring that engagement forward. And we've been very lucky to get to work with the same groups that I've been working with for the last 10 years in different social communities and different civics projects, that we actually get to hear the voice. Since February, we've been out in the neighborhoods, walking doors, holding small town halls, holding small meetings, to hear what the constituents actually want, hear what they really want to get done, and start bringing together real solutions that aren't party line. Yes, I'm a libertarian. No, I'm not that kind of libertarian. Pragmatism is and has been our number one objective. What can we get done? What can we get done now? There is a lot of long-term solutions. We don't have time for most of them. We know that going into the new year, before we get there, whichever one of us you choose to send, we're going to be walking into a mess. We know that the next fiscal fight is coming right before we get there. And we know whatever they decide to do, it's going to be a fight for the rest of the year. We need real solutions. We need to come together, and we need to fight to fix this. Our biggest focus so far in my campaign has been tax reform. There's been several good solutions that have been presented by both parties that have all gotten shot down. Why aren't we simplifying the tax code? Why aren't we making it more fair? Why aren't we making it easier for small businesses to do their jobs? Right now, we have massive subsidies. We're wasting tons of taxpayer money on the biggest intakers at the highest level. Yet small businesses have to fight and scrape. I've been in small business in this community my entire working life. I've been a commercial diver for 15 years, and our company doesn't hold any more than 16 people. Yet we still got killed by Affordable Care Act. We still got killed by the new insurance laws and the new taxes that got passed down. 16 people. Most of my guys don't make that much money. How are they supposed to pay these new insurance costs? It's something that I've worked with and lived with every day. I've seen each and every time we raise the taxes, each and every time we hit small business with big business regulations. And that, for me, has been one of the biggest issues. We regulate people like Walmart. They love it. They pay for it. They ask DC to give them those regulations simply so that competition goes away. Government contracting has been another big one that we have looked at. I'm very proud of the legacy that Congressman Young has left us for this community. It's something I want to expand on. We need to make contracting easier. We need to make it fairer, and we need to get cronyism out of the way of it. There are amazing small businesses in this community that have not a shot to get any of these contracts. We need to open it up. We need to make it easier. We need to grow small business, because that is where we are going to get unemployment further down in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we'll take your 4-minute question answer session.
Let me choose your question.
Your choice.
Hi, I'm Corey Adler. Can you tell me how do you plan to go to Washington and develop relationships with international and national representation when they may not know who you are? How do you make that happen and still be effective?
We're going to work with a lot of existing legislation, and we've already started to reach out to form coalitions with not only lobby groups, but with existing congressmen and women that are already in D.C. With a lot of the bipartisan divide that we have, it's actually going to be a little bit easier for me to navigate. I'm not tied to anybody. We can make things happen regardless of party. I don't have a party telling me what to do. Next one. I got the one right behind you. I'll get you next.
Hi, Kim Live. I went to Lakewood too, and not in your class. What do you believe, as a public school graduate, what do you believe is the role of the federal government in public schools and local decision making?
It doesn't have one. I'm actually a very large advocate of states controlling education. The closer we can get it to the community, the better. The federal government, no, and we need to keep it here.
Hi, my name is Leonard Shady, and you can watch this broadcast on Shadow Bit on YouTube. My question is, since you're a libertarian and you don't like a lot of regulation, banks currently are charging people who don't have an account with a bank $6 to cash a check because they haven't been forced to not by regulation. Would you regulate those banks?
No. A lot of these answers are really simple. Yeah, as a libertarian, I'm very much opposed to adding new regulation. There's a lot we can do with removing regulation that's going to move a lot more forward than adding more. A lot of the problems that we've seen have arisen because we've stockpiled regulation on top of regulation on top of regulation. Let's legislate some of that off the table. Let's find ourselves underneath all of it before we add more.
I'm Gregory Wilson, and I commend the courage of the candidacy. But for better or worse, this nation is largely a two-party system, and you're not a part of one of those two parties. When do you think we will see a turning point where a libertarian could play a more productive role? If you're that person, please tell us how.
March 11th was actually going to be my answer, is when we start seeing that turning point. On a full-blown national-scale presidency, I'll be the first to tell you you're looking 2020s, 2030s before my party were to have a shot. An election like this, we do have a shot. I wouldn't be here if we didn't. We got involved in this race because we know the community, we know the activists in the community, and we feel that we do have a real chance at winning. I don't play to lose. I don't play to make political statements. We're here to win this race just like everybody else. I got time for one more? Nope, we're done?
You do have your one-minute closing.
I think I've pretty much said it all. I appreciate the questions, and thank you again, Tiger Bay, for having me. I look forward to post-primary time. I'm going to get to spar with everybody a little bit more then. And thank you guys again for having me. I appreciate it.
I'd like to thank all of the candidates for being here today. And this is a very pivotal election for the county. I'd like to give you all a token of our appreciation, our carving up a politician for lunch mug. I'll present that to you in a minute. As we are tabulating our Fang and Claw Award, I'd like to remind you January 22nd to join Mayor Baker and Mayor Iorio for Tale of Two Cities. February 5th, our legislative preview. February 20th, our night with the Tigers. And our night with the Tigers will feature Pulitzer Prize winning columnist Daniel Rude at the Mahaffey Theater. I'm going to ask all of the candidates to please join me at the podium. All of our speakers.
Thank you. Janelle, Bob Doyle is over at my table.
Oh, good. I would like to. Thank you.
You've been listening to live events coverage on RadioSt.Pete.com of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon. The Candidates Forum for the 13th Congressional District, a Republican primary coming up in January, a special election in March to fill out the term of the late Congressman Bill Young.